Welcome to The Influential Nonprofit, the show for nonprofit leaders to grow their influence so they can grow their income and impact. Now here's your host, Marianne Dersch.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Influential Nonprofit. I am your host, Marianne Dersch. I work with nonprofit leaders to grow their influence so they can increase their income and make a bigger impact. And isn't that, my friends, what we are all here to do? Today is about a lesson I'm going to teach to you, which is the secret of influence. It's the biggest secret of influence. And it's a lesson I am learning all the time, every day, always up-leveling this skill. And that skill is listening. Before I go into that, I want to talk first about what influence is, in case you're new to this podcast. Influence is your ability to get people that you have no authority over to do what you want them to do. And in the nonprofit space specifically, influence is so critical because we're surrounded by people we have no authority over. In fact, most people that we work with are people we have no authority over. Nonprofit staff tend to be lean, right? And so you don't have a lot of people. And sometimes it's actually hard to get people you do have authority over to do what you want them to do. But you think about the board above you, and you have to get them to do what you want them to do. You don't have authority over your board, your donors, your partners, your community partners, your volunteers, your consultants like me, and your ability to easily enroll people into your vision, get them to willingly do what you want them to do, not because you said, not because you pushed them, but because they're excited to follow your lead. That's what we're going to talk about today. And the number one way to do that is by listening. I want to talk about what listening is. Of course, I know you can all listen, but how you really do it in a way that centers the other person. And I'm not centering the other person to build them up to get something from them. I'm centering the other person because I know an influence, when I'm a value to others, they will be a value to me. So let's talk about listening. Here's how a typical conversation goes. I'm going to say this is a donor conversation. That's where we're going to start here. So let's say you're having a meeting with a donor, either Zoom or in person. And it probably goes one of two ways, or maybe both of these things happen. You get into a conversation and it's about life and family and whatever. And now you're so deep into that conversation, it's hard to like pull the yacht, you know, get the yacht to turn around to move to what you wanted to talk about. And you wind up spending all your time talking about the stuff you didn't really come there to discuss, and have a hard time moving the conversation to meaningful or critical, crucial things that you wanted to talk about. The other way this can show up is hesitation. And I did this for years. This is totally, I mean, I've done both these things, but this is totally me. For many years, we'd be in a meeting in my old company with a potential client, and we'd sit down with the client, and the client had the money, they had the power, it was their decision, so we deferred to them. The client was looking to us for our expertise as far as a process. You know, hey, you have the experience and the intelligence that we want to tap into. Show us that. And I think you may be feeling these in donor or board conversations. They're the board, right? They're the authority. They get the lead, or they're the donor. They get the money. They get the lead. And so there's this hesitation in the beginning, like who's going to say it? When are they going to say it? Neither one of you wants to stand up and take leadership, not control, leadership of the conversation. And then while you're having the conversation, whether it's about what you want to talk about or not, your brain and their brain is spinning, right? Their brain is like, when are they going to ask? How much are they going to ask? Am I doing a good job as a board member? I don't know. Did I remember to read that one thing? You know, how long is this meeting going to go? Am I going to hit traffic on the way home? You know, their brain is spinning and your brain is spinning the same thing. When am I going to ask? How much am I going to ask for? Will they say yes? What if they say no? What if they say yes? What am I going to tell my executive director if I don't get this gift? What am I going to tell my board president if I screw this up? Again, how long is this meeting going to last? What am I going to cook for dinner? Who invented liquid soap and why? Which is a quote from one of my favorite movies ever, which is The Sure Thing with John Cusack. Okay, so your brains are spinning and You're trying to figure out what's coming next, what they're going to say next, what's going to happen. So neither one of you, although you appear to be listening, you appear to be looking at that person and hearing what they're saying, you're really not listening because your brain is either past worries, you know, or future concerns. What did I do? Did I do it right? Did I set this up right? Or future concerns? When is something going to happen? How is it going to happen? Neither one of you is present, 100% present to each other in the conversation. And this is why listening is the greatest skill. So often we are taught that it's about what we say. And listen, I help organizations with messages and marketing. I know how important it is to have your messaging right. And I also know how important it is to listen to what other people are sharing with you. And it's almost just as, or even more important. Too many times we get into a conversation and we think we need to pitch or sell or convince, you know, hey, here's this idea. I want to tell you about it. And we're doing all the talking. And then the other person, again, now they're trying to fill in the blanks. They're trying to figure out what's coming up. And neither one of us is totally present and listening. Listening, active listening, means I don't really have to worry about what I'm going to say. I don't have to have all the answers. All I have to do is really tap into what you're saying, empathize, and validate it. And by empathy, I mean, wherever you're at, I'm coming with you. You know, Brené Brown talks about empathy as like, if you're down a hole and I'm going to come down that hole with you, I'm not going to ask you to come out of the hole and meet me. But wherever they're at, could be good or bad. You want to tap into what they're really saying. Don't worry about what you need. Don't worry about the outcome of the conversation. Just listen to what they're saying and validate what they're saying. Because when we listen and we validate, which means, you know, so what I'm hearing is, and give it back to them, then they will relax. And when they relax, their subconscious relaxes, they feel seen and heard, they start to trust, and they're going to be more open to what you have to say. In any situation, I would say, I can't think of one right now where I wouldn't listen first. So I might start the conversation saying, listen, I've got some ideas that I think you might like. And first, what I want to do is just hear what's going on with you. How's everything going? How's the family? How's the business? No. How are you feeling about our organization? Tap into them. And you're looking for two things. You're looking for pains. So what is the pain that they're having? And then you're looking for gains. And the gain is, what is the vision that they want to achieve? Whatever then you want to say, whatever you want them to do, you can put in the context of relieving a pain or moving them closer to a gain. Now, this isn't about manipulation or lying or putting things into a false context. This is in alignment. So if, you know, say you work for a camp, you know, and you're meeting with a donor and they are talking about their grandkids that go to camp or, you know, and so you're really tapping into that energy. And then you're saying, wow, it sounds like what I'm hearing is your grandkids are really loving camp and you're so grateful for that experience. I would love to share with you ways that maybe you could make that a reality for other kids. And if I would have just said, hey, I would love for you to fund a program where we send some kids to camp, what that does is that puts that listener in a position of now defending your position or poking holes in your position. When you can put what you want in the context of something they need, either a pain or gain, they're going to be more open to what you have to say. One of the things that I say a lot is people hate to be sold and they love to buy. And what that means is being sold means I feel out of control and I feel pushed. You know, like when you go to buy a car and then you got to sit in the little room and it's dark and it's hot and the salesperson goes to the manager like five times and wait and you wait and wait and wait. You feel a little pushed into that corner. And but people love to buy, which means we love making the decision, making the choice. So if it's your choice or if it's my listener's choice, then they're going to want to do what I want because I've shown how what I want meets an actual real need of theirs. Again, not manipulation. I'm not making square peg round holing this. I'm truly listening in full alignment with, you know, who I am and what I bring in that authenticity. and listening to what they have to say. You know, a lot of times I hear board members say a fundraising conversation, I just don't know what to say. And I tell them it really has nothing to do with what you say. Like, and if it does, you're doing it wrong. When I see proposals or organizations wanting pitch decks, I'm like, this is not how you build relationships. You build relationships through deep listening, really tapping into who they are, what's going on. And here's the thing. This is the beauty of this, is that you don't have to know what to say. And I think also this is the biggest switch, because your brain is going to be constantly like, can I answer the question? Can I answer the question well? Will they respect my authority? Will they believe what I'm saying? What if I can't address a concern? And so you're so worried about what's going to happen. Will you be able to address a concern, answer a question comprehensively, all of those things? And when really, I believe this because it's true, because I see it in my work and in the work of my clients who are all nonprofit leaders, the right words will come. If you are in full service to that person, the right words will come. And you don't have to really worry about having everything prepared, having everything in a line, and really wanting to get somebody to do something. The less ownership you have over the outcome, the more likely you're going to get what you want. Again, because people love to buy and they hate to be sold. When I have conversations with people about working and like joining one of my programs, I say, hey, let's decide together. And if it's not for you, that's okay. I give them full ownership of that decision because they're more likely to make it. Now, that doesn't mean I don't take a stand for someone that I really believe I could serve well. But in the end, it's their decision. And whether they give you that gift or not, you're okay. They're okay. Everything's already okay. And when we open ourselves up to that, then we can have the honest conversation and really serve that person. We serve them the best by listening. The greatest need we have is to be seen and heard. And you can probably think about so many times in your life when you did not feel seen and heard, and how frustrating and angry that made you, how dissatisfied that made you. I just wanted them to understand this. Or times when you have felt seen and heard, and it's like angels singing, you know, like, oh, thank you. You under, yes, yes, yes. When I validate, empathize and validate with people, like, yes, oh gosh, yes, yes, that's it. Exactly. And you can see the relief. You can see the tension just flow out of them. It's such a gift to be able to give this to someone. When you give them that gift, then they will give you the gift of trust and to being open to what you have to say. In almost any situation, I go second, and I would encourage you to go do the same. Whatever crucial conversation you're having, I'm using the donor example, but with a board, with a consultant like me, with anyone, get them to go first because you want to do your deep listening. Okay, now, sometimes I also don't want you to wrestle control like an alligator, like kind of got to wrestle this person down. You will tell me. Sometimes people say, I'll start a conversation. I'll say, hey, you know, I have an idea. And before I share it with you, I want to hear all about you. And they'll go like, oh, what? I want to hear all about you. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. And I am doing great. And I'm going to tell you more about that. And what I'd like to do first, though, is hear from you. And I'll just recenter them back on them. People are giving you, throwing it back at you, like lobbing a tennis ball because they want to be polite and they want to center you. And I love that. Like, thank you so much. I'm so excited. Don't get frustrated if they do this. Like, thank you so much. That's so great. I'm going to share everything, but let's start with you. Or sometimes if you say, like, you're in with a prospective donor and the donor is saying, I want to, you know, you're saying, I have an opportunity I'd like to talk to you about, but first I want to hear all about you. The donor would say, well, tell me about the opportunity. And they just want to cut through it. Well, tell me about the opportunity. And you can say, I am absolutely going to, and I want to explain it to you in the best way possible. And so to do that, I just want to hear it from you first, because then that allows me to share this idea in a way that's going to have the most meaning for you. You mean you can tell them that's what you want them to do. you know, good leaders can be led. And so when you show up as a leader to the conversation, when you show up as a leader to your process, you show up that way, people will respond. And then sometimes they'll say, well, just tell me what it's about. You're like, absolutely. I'm going to tell you, let's just talk for a few minutes about what's going on with you. And then that'll help me really make sure I'm as efficient as possible in explaining things. Now, the reason I said that is because what did I hear from that person? He or she was trying to cut to the chase. I imagine somebody who's very busy, who says, you know, and the overwhelming theme I'm listening is time. I don't have time. I want you to just tell me what you want. And I can say yes or no. And I know that's not effective. And what I want is for me to get a tap into a little bit. So what I'm going to do is minimize. And I'll say, yeah, I absolutely will do that. If we could just talk for a few minutes about what's going on with you, that'll allow me to then explain my idea in a way that has most sense and meaning for you. And I can be much more efficient with the explanation. So already I'm saying a few minutes of your time will make my time more efficient. So I'm making my process meet their need of less time. Because right away, I think that person assumed, oh, I don't want to sit here and talk about myself for a half an hour. That's not a good use of my time. And actually it really is. They just don't know that yet. So to think about listening and think about how well you listen and how well you listen without moving your agenda forward. Just listen, empathize, and validate. And validate means, you know, I can't imagine how hard that must be. Or I can't imagine how exciting that is. Oh, and the one last thing I want to say about validation is you don't have to agree. You don't have to like it. You don't necessarily, you know, have to think anything is a good idea. You just have to validate. Wow, I can see how you might want to do that. Wow. And I call that witnessing, which may be some funky language for you. You can adapt it if you like, but wow, somebody's telling me they're doing something I don't agree with. I can still witness like devotion, or I can witness their desire or their strength. There's something in there that I could witness and validate. That doesn't mean I agree with it or like it. That's not what validation is. Validation is saying, I understand where you're coming from. Again, think about the times in your life where you haven't felt seen and heard, how pissed off you got about that. Think about the times in your life when you felt seen and heard by a friend or a colleague or a partner or a family member, and how beautiful that feels. And really tap into that, because that's the gift you want to give them. I want to say one more thing. That is, if you look at television and movies, we're horrible at empathy and validation. People, because empathy and validation means if I'm not going to empathize, that means I empathize that I'm going with you, right? I'm not making you come with me. So if I say, oh, I'm so angry, like, oh, you shouldn't be angry. Okay, that doesn't make me feel seen and heard, but on television and movies, this happens all the time, especially with children. Mom, I'm scared. Oh, you don't have to be scared. The parent is trying to relieve the anxiety of the child, but it's actually increasing the anxiety because now that child feels scared and misunderstood. You can say, I'm so scared. Yeah, this can be really scary. Tell me what makes you scared. And then the angels come and sing. That's what it feels like, right? That's when the angels come and sing. So watch for TV and movies, how people are in, especially when people are struggling, when they're sad and they say, don't be sad. It'll be okay. It's not that bad. And what that's doing is that's centering me, because your struggle is making me uncomfortable. So I want your struggle to subside so that I can talk about what I came to talk about. When really the most service you can have is just tapping into their struggle and, you know, holding them in it. Like, I'm so sorry this is happening. That sounds horrible. What could I do to support you? I recently had a conversation with someone who was in a struggle mode. And instead of going through the agenda that I had for the meeting, I said, you know, it sounds like you're really struggling. Would you want to just do something with me for a minute? If you're willing, I would love to just take you through like a little 2-minute meditation that I use to end my overwhelm. And she was like, yeah, I'll try anything. Like, okay, let's do that. And I really listened and paid attention to her struggle. And then I was able to respond in a way that served her. And listen, I mess up too. The other day I had a conversation and the colleague was in struggle and I wasn't fully present. I had an agenda. I wasn't doing my deep listening. And the conversation ended like we were both dissatisfied at the end of it. And I really had to pull out and say, what just happened? Oh my gosh, I forgot my number one skill, to listen. So I am growing in this all the time, my friends, all the time. And you will too. We're always up-leveling our skills and up-leveling our influence. And the number one way to do that is put aside your agenda, put aside that case statement, put aside those things, and really deeply listen. And once the person that you're in conversation with feels seen and understood and validated and heard, then you can launch into what you have to say and watch, just watch how much more easily what you want to have happen actually happens. I would love for you to share anything about listening with me. You can go to theinfluentialnonprofit.com and download your Uplevel Your Influence Starter Kit. It has a guide in there called Understanding the Mindset of Your Listener. And that is key. You know, if you're meeting somebody who's in doer mode and they're making decisions, bam, 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 or you're somebody who's in thinker mode, they're in contemplation, or somebody who's in struggle mode, or somebody who's in achiever mode, you want to be able to relate to where they're at. And so this guide will give you a little bit of guidance around that. And also, I have included my Courageous Conversations guide. And it's how to have a conversation where you're doing this deep listening. And I go really go step by step into it. So you're super, super going to want to go to theinfluentialnonprofit.com and download the Uplevel Your Influence Starter Kit. And you can always reach out to me at marianne@marianndurst.com. I would love to hear stories of the deep listening that you did and how it benefited what you wanted to have happen in the end. So keep listening, my friends. Keep listening to this podcast, and I will see you next week, or I will hear you next week, because you'll be listening.
Thanks for listening to The Influential Nonprofit with your host, Marianne Dersch. If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends and colleagues about the podcast. Also, check out theinfluentialnonprofit.com for more resources on growing your influence so you can raise more and do more.